So we now enter a second most powerful institution called World Bank, the World Bank. So as you see, the Bank of the World, so that name itself is very heavy. It's set up in 1944 and consists of five verticals. We will look into that. Okay, strong focus. Look at the focus of it: reducing the trade barriers and enhance international trade. So you will wonder how it is different from this thing. So while WTO drives the change in the barriers, this focuses on finance-led support, you know, so international trade development, and through a finance this thing, if there are barriers that is happening, through furnishing a finance or obstructing the financial flow, the bank gets into making country adhere to remove certain obstructive trade practices. So they bring the financial supports, but that's how they also facilitate removal of the barriers, if any, that any country is practicing. Involves the supporting, restructuring and development of countries affected by the World War II. So that's the second most mandate with which the World Bank was formed. So you see, the underdeveloped country and developed country, or the countries which were affected due to the World War II, they look at all-round development for which you funding is needed. You would have heard that, you know, this project is funded by World Bank, that dam construction has happened due to the finance by the World Bank. So they kind of support infrastructure and various other programs through which they built, and they want to develop the countries, you know, so that's where they support. Focus on common development across the world, so poverty alleviation to various problems, you know, that they look at, and through funding support they try to elevate or remove that problem. They work with that government and the bodies there to see that this problem is handled tactfully. Five groups that we spoke about earlier. So first vertical under the World Bank is IBDR. It stands for the International Bank for Reconstruction and Development. So the word reconstruction and development, that's that funding part that we earlier spoke about, comes under them. It's formed to provide loan to the for the poverty reduction and enhancing the economic growth. So reconstruction and development, first aspect is the poverty, and then second is the how can you enhance the economic growth. So for which whatever fund is required, it is provided by them. Several aspects impact ability of the country to trade. So there is a reasons why many countries are unable to do is, one is to start with the exchange rate, currency rate. We are also today in a very fixed, which I am talking about, say like March 2022, the value of our rupee is far lower now. The prevailing rate of interest, etc., that is applicable in various countries. So those aspects, IBDR gets in to work with those countries and try to enable them to bring those things on a friendly rate. Okay. So reduce the impact of all these things. As I told you, they create a favorable this thing, or they can try to create a balance and support that country on that all aspects. So that's what how to manage finance and its reporting, etc. They continue to look at danger signals. They guide them, here you will have a problem. And because their money is also, you know, invested out there, so they try to protect that interest by reporting the irregularities and all. So likewise, they try to safeguard the country's independence, financial independence, so to say. The International Development Association, IDA, which is a second body formed to assist the world's poorest countries in the various ways. So this particular body looks after poor country, poor nation, and they look after how these countries can be developed, what kind of a development can be brought in by that. Having done that, then the issue may come before IBRD, WTO, so to say. So International Finance Corporation, IFC, again the IDBR also finances, but this is another one, a finance corporation, but let's look at that. Largest global development body focused entirely on the private sector. So this is a body which looks at the financing of the private sector to grow the economy, or the belief is to grow the economy. Country requires investment and funding besides the other support that is needed. Other support, there are other bodies, they look at funding the private body in that country to flourish the economy. Post growth, and a country needs to sustain the growth. This is one challenge. After you achieve a growth, the sustenance is a critical challenge. So that's where also this particular IFC plays a role. IFC facilitates countries to achieve the sustainability in their economic growth. So how they do that? Through a funding to the private entrepreneurs. So that's the role that they play. Fourth vertical, or the fourth division, or the group, as you say, is a multilateral investment guarantee agency, MIGA, M-I-G-A. Countries are rushing into cash on the opportunities by investing in the emerging market. So that's a very natural. India is an emerging market. Many countries are rushing in, you know, to cash on the growth opportunity out here. The growth of the economy and its sustainability, sustaining the growth, is highly dependent on several factors. Okay, several factors, especially the political environment. Destability due to political environment may endanger investment and the economic growth. So additionally, threats like civil war, like we have seen suddenly the war between two countries in the recent past, unrest, terrorism, you know, kind of an impact. We saw many countries are suffering due to that. Okay, really shakes the investors in, you know, confidence. So what does this MIGA do? MIGA plays the role of assisting the lender to deal with such risk. So they protect the interests of the lender to protect this risk by taking various steps, such as insuring the entire project, insuring the eligible project, so that any adverse cities due to the previously mentioned reasons is being taken care of. That's the role that this particular body plays. And the fifth and the last group or the vertical is the International Center for Settlement of Investment Dispute, ICSID. Okay, this is funded by the World Bank. It has key role to play in the international investors investing fund in the other country. So here at the role, first role plays is that international investors investing funds in the other country. Now there is going to be a likely dispute that will happen. So this is a body which worldwide, you know, facilitates the legal dispute resolution, okay, and coordination between the international investors. So foreign investors making an investment out here with, say, one of the business group, etc. Now, if the dispute comes in, this is a body who will try to play a role of a minimizer or arbitrator, as you say. Arbitrator is too legal term, but moderator, you can say. So that's the role this ICSID plays. So what we have covered under the World Bank is five verticals, five groups that govern their specific role. Overall, World Bank, thereby assisting in helping the developing country, poor country who suffered due to the World War II, providing them the finance, and through a finance route, try to see that the international business practices remain friendly. So next, what we are going to learn about is another global institution that works on the international business growth. That is International Monetary Fund, IMF. Organizations collectively started by 188 countries pulling together, working to foster global monetary cooperation. Monetary cooperation is the crux of this institution. Secure financial stability, provides stability to the country, facilitates international trade. So they also play a role to facilitate international trade, promote high employment and sustainable economic growth, and reduce poverty. So these are those additional things. While they facilitate international trade, they promote employability and therefore sustain the growth of the economy and reduce poverty. If there is a poverty alleviation program for a country, then they are the one who come forward. IMF tracks the global economy. So their role is to continuously track the global economy of the member countries. So what is happening there, what is changing, what premise is getting changed, etc. Lends to countries having balance of payment difficulties. So like we are always a deficit balance country. So where our export revenue is less than what we spent on import. So we spent out of our pocket, as they say. So such countries, IMF provides the assistance to balance and not get into the debt trap, as you say. Providing practical help to members, so the advisory, consulting, etc., so that the financial this thing is been well managed and utilized, and they kind of prosper themselves. So that's what they try to help the country with. IMF ensures the world's monetary system, implementing a process of surveillance. So they constantly look at the threat that the country faces. Okay, so that the threat there, when they realize, they warn that country. They are specific categorization. So certain countries will be put into that zone, red zone as you see, or a gray zone. So then that way the entire working of the world has to deal with those countries appropriately. They also support them. Not only it's a categorization them into the red or a gray zone, but then the necessary support is also rendered. Three kinds of surveillance gets implemented: country specific, regional, and a global. When you say country specific, it generally looks at a specific country related various policies, monetary, this thing, etc., financial policies and fiscal, and what's happening on the exchange rate, balance of payment status, deficit status. So these are the parameters under surveillance they do for the country, for the region. So Asia Pacific countries, if you see. Okay, so they do that collectively. So how the regional this thing, a disparity if any, and then they continue to do the global this thing. So then when they do that global, you can compare region versus global, country versus global, so you get a perspective, comparative perspective. So that's what this institution facilitates. IMF has played a very crucial role during the financial crisis in Asia. They have helped out certain countries, and you know, they have made them stable. So they support not only monetarily, they support consultatively also. IMF also conducts an annual health survey in which economic progress of the country is checked. So what is the economic health of that country? So areas likely to have impact on the economy is identified. Past economic policies impact on the country's economy, revival feasibility of economic conditions. So they look at that possibility, financial health of the country. So whether overall what is the health of a country? One of our neighboring countries in a gray list, you know, so because their financial health is very, very, very fragile. Okay, so that's why they are put on that gray list, so that dealing with that country is a cautious trade. Areas of concern which country needs to work upon, so they highlight and work with that country about the areas of concern. So that's a critical role that the critical point that's covered during the health survey, and they conduct, supposed to be conducting every year for different country. India's connect with the IMF. So this particular page gives you that snapshot. India is a founder member. So first of all, when the IMF was formed, India was a founder member. India's current quota, okay, at that time we have also invested, given a fund flow, you know, fund this thing. India's current quota in the IMF stands at 5821.5 million SDR dollar, you know, so that is a special drawing rights. So much we can withdraw from IMF. So much we are allowed to withdraw from IMF. India has invested SDR something 5,750 million, approximately 5,340 crores. So this is what gives you the idea of our investment in IMF. This fund can be used by India, but even other countries. So that's a call that IMF takes. You as a country founding member provide the financial means. As on 1st of September 2021 started, that the IMF has increased India's SDR quota by additional 12.57 billion. So that's okay, recognizing our regularity of payment, settlement of dues and blah blah, economic stabilities. Likewise, they do that quota enhancement. SDR is an alternate reserve currency floated by the IMF. So it's a kind of a currency term which the member countries can freely exchange between. So even member country to one country to the other country, SDR can be exchanged to settle your financial transactions. So that's what IMF and India. We now study the next, that is the fourth one in the row, United Nations Conference on Trade and Development, UNCTAD as it's called. an international organization. An international organization consists of 194 countries, headquartered again at Geneva, Switzerland, part of a United Nations. So they fall under United Nations, which is an apex body. You may be kind of partly aware about it. Focus is to manage the development issues, particularly international trade. So they look at how the international trade can continue to grow. So what are those developmental issues in the international trade? They focus there. The developing nation felt that there was a big disparity between developed nations and a developing nation. The origin of this is due to the disparity being felt by the developing country. So that disparity removal was addressed through this particular body. Concerned with their standing in the international trade, developing nations called for a conference to address the challenge, which took place in 1964, and thus the birth of UNCTAD, so United Nations Conference on Trade and Development, with its focus on developmental issues. So what are those perceptional things that impacts the development? That is what they take it up. Among the developing concerns, developing nations, UNCTAD identifies the link between key factors such as trade, investment, technology, etc., and they collectively guide the policy formation. They collectively advise the policy formation. The cue may be taken by even World Trade Organizations. Okay, so that's the essence of this body. What is their role, Yanis? So they promote policies at all level, national, regional, and international level, which facilitates stable economic growth. So they have to facilitate that growth is not imbalanced. Some country gain, some country lose. They try to see that, they create a favorable balance or equitable balance, identifies and works out strategies for development. So what needs to be done by respective country, or overall, they as a body, looking at the developing countries' need, they form the strategies or identify the areas to develop, or the debt problem of the various countries that they are getting into and how they can be stopped from getting into the debt trap, follows and retrieves trends and prospects of the world economy. So by doing about things, they are naturally helping the world economy to get the healthy growth, look for a healthy development. So that's UNCTAD's role in deliverables. Next one, provide technical support to developing countries in their effort to integrate into the international financial system and to manage their external debt. So that's a very, very critical this thing. Various countries rely on international finance. Now, but once you get a money, you have to repay. Now, this is the entire system of international financial this thing that need to be understood and utilized so that overall your external debt is minimized. You do not get into the debt trap. So that is what they provide, the technical support and a guidance on that front. Enhance trade and development opportunities. Enhance the opportunity for the trade growth and the developmental growth of developing countries, to facilitate and enhance the investment opportunities for the developing countries. They provide a platform where investment in this developing country can take place. They also provide a platform where the investor from this country can invest elsewhere. So they facilitate the investment, business investment or the trade investment. Okay. The next body is the UNIDO, or in other words, the United Nations Industrial Organization. United Nations Industrial Organization, UNIDO, established in 1966. It's a part of, again, United Nations. Even previous organization was a part of United Nations. However, the core focus here is to promote to enhance industrial development. So they focus only on the industrial development, industrialization of various developing countries. Again, their focus is also developing countries, but their focus is the industrialization of the developing countries. Okay, it runs multiple projects to help developing countries, for example, global agribusiness and agro-industrial development, SME sector growth. So how they facilitate various aspects of industrialization to really shape it up and grow on its own. So that's what they look at. Project undertakers have a larger than life implications. So they do not get into a very trivial subject matter. They create a very ambitious widely impacting programs and projects. So because they impact larger than life scale, you know, so therefore they, when they do that and they succeed, it enhances the economic growth of a respective country. So they bring really industrialized growth in that country by implementing ambitious program for which you need a fund also. Having studied very important bodies, we have to focus on certain other trade institutions. They are local in nature, but they are of significant importance. So we'll quickly just, it's a number, it's a name that has been given to you so that you understand their focus. SAFTA, as it's called, South Asia Free Trade Area. Okay, it consists of a SAARC countries where they enter into this agreement, which enables the smooth business flow, discards the limiting, trade barriers and tariffs, etc., makes it a friendly business between the SAARC countries. So there's a special agreement over and above what WTO might have with those member countries separately. Then comes the EFTA, which is Asia Pacific Trade Agreement. Similarly, the Asian countries, Asia Pacific countries, have joined together to form their own agreement. Now, this agreement, when these are those local or a regional agreement, cannot overrule anything which is that World Trade Organization has set in. Okay, but they, within that, they can create their own ways of working. Third is the India Mercosur Preferential Trade Agreement, PTA. India Mercosur Preferential Trade Agreement, PTA. Then BIMSTEC, which is Bay of Bengal Initiative of Multi-Sectoral Technical and Economic Cooperation. So there is a specific this thing to attach to that. NAFTA, which is North American Free Trade Agreement among North American countries. Same was APEC for Asia Pacific Economic Cooperation. So that's an Asian countries again. And ASEAN, which is an association of Southeast Asian countries. So all those Southeast Asian countries put together, they formed their own trade institution, and they got into agreement, and they try to adhere to this institution agreements also during international business. So these are various other trade institutions which play a very crucial role in the growth of the international business, international marketing. So now we are almost at the last leg, as the chapter title suggested, trade bodies, trade institutions and policy. So we will look at our policy. So that is India's foreign trade policy, especially our foreign trade policy. This is 2021 to 2026. India has framed its own foreign trade policy. This foreign trade policy is the one which guides the entire international market, international marketing. Now it includes both exports and import related aspects. So what is the objective and the target? So objective is to leverage maximum benefits from the global market opportunity. We all know the global trade is flourishing, global market is growing. How can you leverage maximum opportunity out of that? That's an objective. To facilitate and sustain the economic growth by providing access to key raw material. For raw material is a, you know, a inbuilt requirement of many industries. So how can you source the raw material economically needed for national manufacturing to take more better shape? So that's what also it has to facilitate, means allow those kind of a trading, generate and enhance the employment. So which are the industry that is employment centric? So how do you promote them so that the employment is generated? Achieve international standards of quality. So how can you match your standards? So India has, like, for example, embarked about a couple of years back in terms of fuel, this thing, standard to be of an international level. So today the Indian vehicle which you are using is considered as a Bharat Stage 6, which is almost equivalent to European standards. So you see that on various fronts, various international standardization has to happen. While I gave you the example of the fuel, but what you, it is just a corollary, you have to read it as, yes, this particular foreign trade policy, you know, works to see that standard of Indian goods quality improve and become on par with the international competition, provide high quality products and at a reasonable price. So price is a result of the cost that you incur. Now, how can you enable entrepreneur to keep his cost to the minimum so that he can't compete with the international players? So that's what also this particular foreign policy tries to address. Okay. Now, how they are doing it? So, there is a particular body there, DGFT, Directorate General of Foreign Trade. This is an apex body responsible for the formulation of this entire trade policy. Comes under the Ministry of Commerce, because it has to do everything with the commerce. It's a Ministry of Commerce under which this particular apex body comes, and they prepare and publish India's foreign trade policy. Currently the 21-26 is working. This act regulates the Exim policy, exports import. Exim stands for, EX stands for exports, IM stands for imports. Exim policy of India, and provides development and regulation of the foreign trade by balancing import and exports of India. So they have to also see that while this trade foreign trade policy is formed, it should not lead to imbalance. It should not lead to too much of an encouragement to the import at the cost of exports. When that happens, means your receipts from the export business is lower than what you have to pay for the import. That way you will become a negative deficit balance country. So they have to also regulate that none of their policy creates adverse imbalance. It's a set of guidelines and instructions. How these policies are generally, they are guidelines and they are set of instructions. They are certain doing certain encouraging allowances, certain prohibitory things, etc. Overall, to regulate your import and export of the country at a country level, focuses on the enhancing of the export. So they naturally want more exports, so therefore they push for it. That's how they garner the growth of the economy. And exports always generate, because to export you have to produce in your country, to produce you need people, so it's an employment generation. Motto of our current trade policy, foreign trade policy, is to make India one of the key player in the international trade by the year 2026. So by 2026, what will happen? So that's what is been put out here. Key expectation of the applicable FTP policy is WTO compliant tax incentives. We will work to form a WTO compliant, means World Trade Organization compliant tax incentives. So one of the directives to remove subsidy, and that's the reason why you see the subsidies are going from various things, you know, governments are year on year. Easy credit access, provide credit access better. Infrastructure updates, you know, you create a infrastructure bandwidth which is on par with international. This thing do not obstruct the flow of goods and capital and material, etc. Less subsidy, more support. So you do not give just a subsidy, support them so that they own, you know, on their own become competitive. Tax breaks, yes, tax swaps and tax breaks, etc. can be given. Digitalization, promote e-commerce, create a lot of export awareness about the opportunity, how your inherent local knowledge and skill can make you a exporter. So that's what they keep driving. Import wish list, yeah, so they compile import wish list, which is something which is, okay, mandatory. Rest of thing they will continue to like, you know, obstruct that through various policy frameworks, so that our imbalance is not unhealthy for us. So we understood this various aspects of India's foreign trade policy. If you refer the book, yes, it's very challenging, and we aim to be a very dominant player in the international trade. And this India's foreign trade policy 21-26 is all designed to help achieve that particular dream. So with this, we complete chapter 2, which was essentially on the trade bodies. We have studied bodies like WTO, IMF, etc. and trade policy. We have got a gist of it, an overview of India's foreign trade policy 21-26. Thank you.